beginning to call law enforcement in the other counties to find out if there has been any reports of domestic violence. We're making these collateral contacts, and that's why if we could somehow get a way to share that information, some kind of database, and I know that there's a law enforcement database communications piece, and we want to be part of that to make it as easy on law enforcement as possible. But we're
do you have the machine in? Do you have the machine in the office yet that now labels you guys to do your own the BCI stuff?
Yes.
You've already got that. Okay.
Well, there should be some type of highlight or red flag that goes out immediately to the agency.
That's one dramatic step.
Well, Commissioner Fox has been saying, you know, for a long time about technology, and in reality, in this age of technology, there's really no excuse for the kind of things that's happened in America. I mean, some of these crimes across the country where people have, you know, taken the lives of children. It's not just a Butler County situation.
Right.
There's a diabolical thing that's gone on the last few years, and a lot of that could have been protected better if we were all in sync in our technology. And there's no excuse in this age of internet that we aren't hooked up. And I think we're getting a lot closer, right? We're getting closer and closer to where all of these databases from state to state and everything is blending together. But I really believe that Mike's been right all along in that there's a technology piece to this that's vital to the protection of children in our modern times.
Let me, this is a good time. I want to finish up this network oversight issue and then go to the technology question, if I may. One last question on this network. So I think, let me summarize what I think I've heard. Number one, children placed through the agency in foster placements are seen once a month, and there's at minimum once a month visit to the home in which they are placed by our staff, by your staff.
In our public.
In your agency, right. Whatever the word is, licensed, mm-hmm. Operated, home. Children placed in networks. A, in the initial placement, you rely upon this license. You just assume that all these questions were asked properly.
Otherwise, they wouldn't get
a license.
You gotta trust.
And there is no independent home evaluation, home visit by your agency.
No.
Outside the initial placement, is that what
the you're initial saying? Placement.
We do the initial placement. Our agency places the youngster there, takes the youngster on the initial placement.
But do you do one of those? If I want to be a foster parent, and I'm a relative, let's put it this way.
Okay.
You're going to place a child. My daughter is messed up, but I say, look, I'm a grandpa. I'll raise the child.
Right.
If I recall correctly, you come in and do a home evaluation.
Correct.
In that placement.
Correct.
Now, if it's a licensed foster parent, you don't then do a second home evaluation. You rely upon this license.
I'm sorry, you're correct.
Okay, for even an agency placement, even one of your placements.
Right. The caseworker themselves do not go back.
Okay.
You're right.
But
okay.
We have foster care workers that are assigned to each one of our foster homes, and they go out and visit once a month.
Okay, that's the part. But in the network placements,
correct.
That does not happen.
Correct.
And
no, in many of the network placements, and in Marcus's in particular, their licensed caseworker went out every week.
Network, the networks,
yes.
Not yours. That's what I'm getting to.
Right.
Is this,
right.
That,
okay.
Because we contract.
And if I understood what you said yesterday, because this was in one of the emails I sent you, which I was pleased to see, if I understood what you said,
mm-hmm.
You are now going to change that policy.
Absolutely.
And you are going to, from now on, even if they're in a network placement, and you will have an independent,
correct.
You're not going to rely on the network to say, hey, things are fine, send me more kids.
Correct.
Okay, now, back to the question I originally asked, Johnny. Was the board, because as long as I've been involved in this, and you know I'm a nut about redundant, independent reviews. I mean, the common sense to me of contracting with somebody and saying, I'm going to rely, you're providing the service. I want you to tell me how you're doing. The common sense of that practice, given the philosophy, that's why I asked the question about what does this tell us about the culture, because back to your point, there can't be enough eyes. There can't be enough ears. And one of the things I'll get to in a minute is what things are we doing to have this agency? I mean, and we've had this conversation. You know, I'm told from other directors that they have a difficult time dealing with the agency. I'm told from staff that they're terrorized. They're afraid to say things for fear of their jobs. I am told from people that are out there that try to call that it's difficult. I mean, just this goes back to our phone system. Try to call the commissioners. Derek knows I've been on this about our own.
I was going to say, are you getting your staff mixed up with ours?
I was going to say, trying to call, fortunately, you know, our jobs aren't as important. But people just trying to get through, they find it different. In other words, what I see is a cultural issue of what, in other words, we should open and embrace. If you've got information, one of the things, I saw the 24-hour hotline idea that we talked about in the memo. That's wonderful. With technology, there's a lot of things that are coming out that I didn't know that we were delegating. Did the board know that? That you were delegating, that the networks, that there was a difference between the level of oversight?
Yes, absolutely.
You knew that?
Obviously, because we have a contract. We know what the contract states. And Mike, for us to give, we barely got our levy passed last time. For us to give the 400 and some children the kind of care everybody would like for them to get, we need triple our budget and four times as many frontline workers. So we are in an age of contracting where people contract with other people for services, health, hospitals, doctors are contracting out medical care. My doctor never even saw me when I was in the hospital.
We're back to the issue that's
so
dividing.
So we do contract with these people to provide this service, and we expect them to provide that service.
No, that's not what I'm asking, John. I know that we all knew that you were doing network contracting. You can't possibly, back to your point, where do these kids go if you don't? That's just, network contracting is not inherently bad. There's nothing bad about that. What I'm asking is, did the board know there was a difference in the level of protection afforded to children that were directly in your care, in your foster homes, than there was in the level of protection afforded to children in network placements? Meaning, and what I mean from that difference is, in your network, in your home placements, your staff did two things. There was a requirement: see the child, see the setting where the child is living once a month. In the network placement, there was no specific obligation to see the child and see the home setting from anyone on your staff. You saw the child, incidentally.
I think it's a matter of semantics as far as how it was viewed by the board. The board would not sit there and say, okay, these 200 children, we want them to get very good supervision. We're going to network with these 200, and we don't want them to get as good a supervision. The board's perception was not what quality or level of supervision, but who was doing it. We were aware that we are hands-on taking care of these, and that we have contracted for someone else to hands-on take care of these. But we were fully of the persuasion that the quality of care was the same, whether it was our people or a network, or we would have not had a network.
Again, Johnny, that's not the question. What I'm asking is, was the board aware that your staff did not make home visits to network placements?
We do make home visits.
Then what is the change in policy you announced yesterday? What is the change? Yesterday you announced you're going to do something different. What is that something with respect to network placements?
In terms of network placements, currently the requirement is that we see the child every 90 days.
Okay.
What we're changing it to is that we're going to see the child every month, every 30 days.
Just like you do yours?
Yes.
Now, was the board aware that children placed in network placements were only seen once every 90 days, which was a different standard than you had for your children placed in your homes? Was the board aware of that? In your homes, you do it every month.
Yeah, but I might also add that there are a lot of these, like Lifeways was a treatment foster home. And in order to even work there, the social workers had to at least be licensed. And they're carrying certain amount of liability. Our caseworkers were trying really hard to get them all licensed, but there is no requirement that they have any child welfare experience out of college or anything. I mean, there's some difference in expertise.
Jan,
when you say that one's being protected more than the other, Mike.
Well, I'll say it differently then. All I want to know is you were doing visits to your homes once a month with your staff. You were doing visits, apparently, to network placements with your staff once every 90 days.
And many times more frequently.
Okay, but that was the policy, at least once every 90 days.
That was the law's minimal requirement.
Exactly. And you went beyond that
yes,
with your home.
Did.
Now, was the board aware that for children in your placements, there was a visit, even though the law didn't require it, by a caseworker at the home once every month, but for network placements, there was a visit only once every 90 days. Was the board aware of that?
Probably not. It's one of those details that is subsumed in the contract, and I don't want, I mean, there
no, are... No, I'm not getting ready to pounce on anybody. I just want to know...
Discussion about
well,
that.
I'm sitting here saying that I do not ever remember a discussion where that was discussed. What I remember being discussed was the quality of care that kids get when we network, because that's all that was important to the board is are they getting the same level of care. And again, back to Marcus, because Marcus is what's brought it to the surface, and I don't want Marcus to ever die. That's the cutest little kid I ever saw. And I know a little bit about what it means to be bound up and locked up and all these other kind of things, and I've watched a child die, my own sister, you know that story. I care about this kid. I don't want this kid to die. I would like not only for there to be a park, they're talking about a park for Marcus. I'd like for Gary Cates at the state level, the county commissioners here at the local level, us at our agency level, I'm going to do what I can at the Child Welfare League level at the national.
Yeah.
Something needs to happen
right.
That tightens up the rules a little bit and that Marcus lives to protect others.
Okay, now let me go to this. What I'm getting to, Johnny, is how do we determine what information flows from staff to the board? Because as Greg pointed out, I would like to rely on the board, but I can't, the board cannot rise above the information that is available to
that's
you.
Exactly right.
I can't expect you to act on something if you don't know about it.
That's exactly right.
For example, let me give you this. And this is something that the press has been trying to get from you for a month. Let's talk about another placement
we,
for a month.
We really would like to just confine this to Marcus.
Well, no, this is a network placement issue.
Okay.
No, I think we're going to answer whatever questions
okay.
are here. At least I am.
Yeah, I just want.
I'm here to answer any
what
questions.
What I'm trying
you got.
To get to is what does the board know?
Are these identicals?
Yeah, they're identicals. Okay. And let me. Now here is a. And Senator Cates was very instrumental in starting this because it was a needed, it was a necessary facility. As you know, some time ago,
this is not a network placement.
Well, this is a placement made by your agency.
Yeah, okay. But it's an entirely.
Is the board aware of this?
Of course they are, and I would very much like.
I don't know. I would like to hear the question, Mr.
Okay,
Christian.
Here's the question. In the last budget, Senator Cates was kind enough to get a $250,000 grant for the agency to help us back to the issue of bringing our kids home. We were placing kids in Indiana and Pennsylvania and all over. And as you pointed out here earlier today, we have all kinds of problems. We don't have enough places for kids, and we're struggling. And so as a result of Senator Cates' work, which was good and important, the agency started to look, how can we bring some of these kids that need help back home? And the bottom line is the board entered into, or the agency entered into, a contract with Talbert House to provide for care. And they entered into a contract with Talbert House to take or pay. In other words, the guarantee will buy 15 beds a day, no matter whether we use them or not. And I don't know if this is accurate because this comes from a different source, but I do know at least one reporter's been trying to get it for at least 4 weeks.
Trying to get what?
The information to a simple question. A, what is the contract with Talbert House? B, how much have you paid them? C, how many bed days were actually utilized versus how many were paid for? Pretty simple question. And this gets back to, I'm going to get moved from here to the technology issue. That should be something that should be on an Excel spreadsheet someplace. If you have a technology-rich organization, that should be a question that does not take 3 or 4 weeks to get an answer to. That should be something, and for 3 to 4 weeks, a reporter has been told that we're working on it by your spokesman. Now, what this report shows is that the agency during from June, that during a period of time, and I don't know if this is correct, you paid $616,000 to the Talbert House for unused beds, a 50% utilization. A, is that true, if you know?
Mike, I would like to examine this and have a chance to meet with whoever would like to meet about this. There has been extensive negotiation.
I know that contract recently changed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But so what I want, in other words, in nursing home business and other things, if you tell us, for example, we've got a take or pay contract with Cincinnati on our inmates. If you ask us today, how many inmates do we have from Hamilton County? How long would it take us today?
To call?
How long would it take us to get that information? If he picks up the phone, he can have that information before this meeting's over. You have a similar contract with Talbert House, a take or pay. Hamilton County has a take-or-pay contract on jails. Now, my first question is, I ask if it's accurate, but you don't know. So I want you to give me an opportunity to go back and find out. Go back and find out. But my first question is, has the board been made aware that it's potential that 50% of the beds you paid for were not used, and you paid $616,000 for beds that weren't used? Has this issue ever even been brought to the board that you recall?
The contract with Talbert House was brought to the board. We also have recently made a change so that you would know. We sought counsel from the prosecutor and made a change that the board is now approving all contracts. There was a style of operating that I guess, I don't know when it was there, it's been there since I've been there this time, that some contracts we were seeing, but then some contracts were at the discretion of the director, and we are now approving all contracts.
Well, Johnny, the flaw here is not necessarily in the contract. I mean, the take-or-pay contracts are not unusual because, in this case in particular, you had a startup home, and I don't know what the alternatives were with, you know, one-way farm and alternatives, but here the question is, To your knowledge, and a lot of times you know things that the board doesn't know because, you know, you guys talk. But did anybody ever bring to the board the fact?
I have never seen this particular sheet.
Well,
I've sent to see if somebody over at CSB can document whether this is accurate or not. And I've already called a special board meeting for next Tuesday night. And if this information is accurate, it'll be presented. If this is not accurate,
the accurate information will be presented. I don't know if this is accurate, but
this is showing $616,000 in unused beds.
My question, Jan, is there is apparently $616,000. Why does this concern us? Because how much does our Human Services Department give to the agency every year? Well, one of my concerns is if I see $616,000 spent on beds that were never used.
I can understand why that certainly might make you go, whoa, what's going on here?
Well, I would, but there's two parts to this.
Okay, and
one, I want to know.
We need to be able to prepare and give you a presentation on this because we would like to have Talbert House in here as well. And
all I want to know is, did you pay for beds that you didn't use? And if so, how much did you pay out? Is this, do you know, you're the director.
Yes.
How much did you pay out for beds that you didn't use?
That's why I'm saying we.
Do you have any recollection of the number? Was it hundreds of thousands or was it 50 or tens?
We have done a lot of financial analysis of whether having the type of contract where you took 50, where you paid for 15 beds, which is the way that the original contract, it was approved by the prosecutor, was signed with Talbert House. And we expected to have probably up to 20, 25 of these because we pay as well for juvenile court folks. And they have a lot of kids in their detention center.
Correct.
That have mental health problems.
Correct.
And so the ability to be able to take advantage of the terrific thing that Senator Cates did, which was help Talbert House with $400,000 up front so that they could get started, because it takes a lot of startup. There's
right.
never been a facility like this in Butler County before. So we agreed that we would pay for 15 beds for the first year. After that, we would reevaluate.
Right.
We would see whether we wanted to do it on a per bed or whether we wanted to do it on, we'll pay for 15 again.
So do you recall how many beds you paid for that you didn't use?
We paid
or
for,
in terms of
there were, there
net
were
amount.
Probably a couple of months there where there were 15, 16 kids in the bed. Not in the same bed. There were 15 or 16 beds that were being used. But you also have to apply this against what would it have cost us if we had sent these kids up to intensive in Toledo at $400 a day.
I understand that, but what I'm asking two questions. This to me is a pretty big issue. For example, if Derek came to us and said, "Oh, by the way," or worse yet, we were in a meeting like this and somebody. We just kind of learned or we read it in the newspaper. By the way, you know, one of our departments entered into a contract, and I got to tell you, we just spent $600,000 on something that we didn't get. I think our board would be very concerned that this was an issue that was not brought to us. We would be wondering what the heck is going on, and that would be a serious issue. It is not a small thing to... And it may be, because we've been through this, for example, three or four, I forget, years ago, we had a heck of a problem with the TANF account. Now, there were explanations about why it happened. And this goes back to flow of information. And because we had relationships with the community and the agencies involved, we had a real talk about screwing up. We screwed up, and how much was it, Derek?
It was in excess of many, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a real whopper that we overestimated how much money we had. We thought we had more than we had. And then we came along, and we cut all the contracts, only to find out later that we had it. Now, that was a real mess, but I'll tell you something. As soon as that was discovered, before it was read in the paper, before we had all, the board was aware of it, Derek came to us immediately, Bruce Jewett came to us, every person that was affected by that was told the bad news on the front end and what turned out to be good and bad news on the back end. And all I'm trying to figure out is two things here that are pretty simple. One, and I'm sure there's an explanation. I haven't got to that part yet. I don't even want to get into that today. The first is, how many beds did you pay for that you didn't use? That, to me, as a director, Jan, with all respect, is something $600,000, $500,000, $400,000 is a big number. And I'm sure you know what the number. I can't imagine that you don't know what that number is. The issue is not whether this number is accurate. The issue is, you know that there were beds paid for that weren't used, and I can't imagine that you don't know, at least in your memory, what that number is, because it's a big number. And the second question is, has that been brought to the board, that specific number? Has anybody gone to the board and says, hey, I want to tell you, we screwed up, we've been trying to figure this out, but I just want you to know we spent $500,000 or $600,000 on things that were never used. Does that happen? What is the number, and has the board been told? Because I'm trying to understand, the board can't act on any information they don't have. And to me, this is all about information.
Absolutely. Well, Commissioner, I was in the hospital at the last board meeting, so I don't know what transpired there. I went to look at my notes. I don't have any of the notes with me. I'd kind of cleaned out my file a little bit to bring mostly the stuff for Marcus today.
Right.
I can only recall as chair that there was recently in a board meeting a discussion about the North Star contract and that we were changing the contract up.
Right.
And there was something said about empty beds and that we were changing up the contract. But I do not have in my memory an exact number of empty beds or an exact amount of money. But I know there was a discussion.
That was just recent.
That was just recently.
Okay.
And it may have been I have to go back and look in the minutes. I went and checked just now, and I don't have it with me. I don't know if it was the June meeting. I don't know. But I was not at the July meeting, and I apologize that I wasn't.
Well, the reason this relates to Marcus is, and I won't, because of time, I won't go on, but there's this internal memo on the Leonard case. Was the board ever given that? Board members ever given that?
You're talking about the one that you gave me in 04? Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
No, I'm talking about the one written by Michelle Money.
This was the investigation that I had asked Michelle to do as soon as we found out about the Amy Leonard case. She put this together for me. And
right.
On the day that she finished it, she got a call from the commissioners asking for a copy of it. So she sent it to them. There's a lot of confidential information that is HIPAA non-compliant and kind of lays out a person's psychiatric information.
Was the board ever given this?
I don't remember whether the board got this. They may have gotten it and looked at it, but because of the confidentiality.
Well, I can care less about confidentiality for the Leonard Child. The Leonard Child's dead. And this goes directly to the heart of internal procedures. It's a major issue, and I don't think it's unreasonable for the board. You ask for an investigation. What happened? What went wrong? I would hope that the board was given a copy of this. Because how can the board learn a lesson from a tragedy if they don't have the details of how it happened, who did what, and what we can learn from it? Because one of the things that was raised in the Leonard case is the importance of information systems and moving information from the right person at the right time. Right? It should not be, when a call comes in, a scavenger hunt for caseworkers to run through files and find out whether we have a history with that person. It should be a word search that tells us everything we know about that person, that child, that address, whatever it is, and we should build that information over time. And it comes down to the Leonard case was another case where the information system breakdown resulted in a child's death. The mother lit the fire.
Right.
But the information that was in there, that child would have never been left with the mother had the caseworker known the history of that mother. It wasn't the caseworker's fault, in my opinion. It was a system issue. Now, let me just end with this, and
Mike, there was a memo given to the board that was from Michelle Money. I'm looking, trying to see. I recognize a little bit of the wording in here. You know, you're catching me flat-footed.
Yeah, I understand.
If we were given this exact one or not, I don't know, but we were given a memo on the Leonard case that did come from Michelle Money.
The point that all this ends to, goes back to information flow and technology systems. For us to have confidence in the board, for the public to have confidence in us and the work that we do, information is critical.
Absolutely.
And there are times when something, there are always going to be times where there are things that mess up. That's not the issue here, in my opinion. I don't care how diligent and vigilant you are, things are just going to go wrong sometime. Now, the question is, have I created systems? The question for me, have I created systems to minimize what we know are risk? And notwithstanding those risks, same thing with any other system in life, whether it's the space shuttle or whatever. Now, no matter how diligent NASA is, you still have the Columbias.
Right.
It just happens. And then you say, how can we avoid the next one? To me, the heart. If we can track packages, if I can take a package to Fed Express this afternoon, get a tracking number, and track that every step of the way to delivery, including going online and changing delivery instructions en route. The technology exists to do that. If packages are that important, our kids are equally important. The software systems are there. And this is a point to Senator Cates. The state has been absolutely, unbelievably unreasonable with respect to SACWIST. They won't let local, I've had these conversations with them. Go up there and say, hey, let us build something even more robust. Just let us tap into that system and lay on top of it something where a caseworker can have the tablet just like the Fed Express guy or the utility guy has. And he can go out and she can go out to that site. There's a biometric stamp there where we know, we validate, we saw that kid. Why? Because I've got the thumbprint or the footprint, and it time stamps it, and it can't tamper with it. I've got a picture. I push another button, or I use my cell phone to make that picture. It time stamps it. I have all the forms. I don't have to go back to the office taking my notes and spend hours retyping stuff that I can have in the field with me and have on that template and have it come back, put it in a portal and have it sync up. And now the caseworker has more time to watch after kids and I improve their productivity. We've talked about that. I've met with these folks. They said, we're not going to let you tap into our system, that precious little SACWIST thing, even though we're willing to spend our money to do it. We need to change that philosophy because SACWIST is a program compliance system. It doesn't come close to meeting the standards that are used in industry as the information systems that are commonly used in every industry that you can think of. But government is always behind the curve on information system development. And what we want to be able to do is get the ability to go in and say, look, we'll lead the way. And we'll show you, we'll build an information system that captures information. So somebody wants to go online, if I can't get through by phone, I want to go online and say, hey, you better look out on this address because you got a foster care there, it's in trouble. Boom, it goes right into the system and that goes right to that caseworker's desk and they've got the information they need on a real-time basis. And that's the type of information system that I'd like to see built for our kids. And I've been fighting for this for 7 years. And every time I raise it, I say, well, we're doing SACWIST. Well, that's not good enough for our kids. We can do better than that. We can do as well as Fed Express. And that ought to be our standard. That's all I've got right now.
And we have been up about 30 hours straight. So I would be more than welcome to discuss Marcus's case, and I would like to come back and make sure that the press is invited and respond to some of the concerns that Mr. Fox has raised. Once again, I would be very willing to have all eyes on everything that we do. We need to be open. We need to be clear. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Thank you. Anything else?
I'd like to kind of piggyback on what Pastor Sloan said about the Blue Ribbon Task Force and also on what Mike was suggesting. I really think we should take these questions before a group and really nail them down to see what kind of answers we can come up with. And included in that, I think we need the some of the youth officers, youth aid officers from the various detective bureaus of our agencies throughout the county, possibly our state reps, some board members from the Children's Services, a member from the prosecutor's office, to mention some,
right,
and get in a big room where we can really go through these questions and see what we can do with them. And also, in light of this tragedy, I think we should make a plea to the public through the media for foster homes and foster parents in Butler County, particularly in the...
Channel 9 today from 2:30 to 6:30 has had open lines soliciting foster parents with our volunteers there answering the phones. It's been incredible.
Great.
So is Channel 12.
That's fantastic.
And Mr. President, I do have this resolution that reflects what divide this into four pieces. One is, and I'd like to work with the prosecutor's office, and I think with the youth aid, there are two issues. One, the specific Marcus Faisal case, where we say let's get a group together to review that case. You even have, I think there's in the statute, there's a child death review board anyway, so we can piggyback with them and offer additional resources. The second piece is appoint kind of a review group to work with the agency to just address these questions and others that may come up. In other words, how do we make the system better? The third piece is to have the board that we conduct a full service. Again, businesses do this all the time. These custom, in other words, how are we doing type questionnaire of ask the staff, ask the foster parents, ask the foster kids. One of the good things, there are many good things, and that when you have a tragedy like this, and I want to say this to Jan and to Johnny and to the board and to all the staff, look, there are children alive today because of the work this agency's done. There are children alive. There are people that they've acted, and there are caring caseworkers that work hard, and there are kids whose lives have been saved because this staff has done the job that their heart tells them is important to do. So I don't want any of that good work to be lost in the fact that we had a bad experience in the Marcus case. And I appreciate that, and the public appreciates that. But and that should always be kept in perspective and balance. But when we have this doesn't, so pursuing these questions does not mean, oh, by the way, I don't appreciate what you're doing on the other stuff. And so
with your resolution, and Pastor, you've announced a blue ribbon committee yourselves. Are we going to have two blue ribbon committees doing this work, or
what's the preference of the commission?
Sir, could I just tell you a couple of other things that we're doing as solutions to the Marcus
Certainly.
Problem? Our contracts are going to be renegotiated to require more frequent medical background checks of foster parents, more teamwork. We're asking you all to take a look at allowing us to develop a citizens review board to work with us in all areas of child placement, with a special emphasis on supporting the agency foster parents. So we would like a review board, a citizens review board. We need your help to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're also, and have already, asked child welfare experts nationally and across the state. We want to ask some folks locally who are very objective, as well as some child aid workers, to take a look at all levels of this case with us. We want to totally open all the records to them so they can share with us. I've already talked to my colleague Barb Riley, and made calls to several legislators to find out if they can work with us to figure out what the gaps are in the legislation so we can address these. We want to report to the media every 2 weeks progress on these solutions. We want to be available to the media to have them join with us to man the hotlines at our agency and to do shadowing so they can see what our folks are doing. We're going to install a children's hotline for foster kids that they can call 24/7. We are going to be accredited by the National Council on Accreditation, which is I mean, we're going to be accredited, which is coming in for our site in April. And what will that will be is the highest accreditation you can get that shows the quality of the services in child welfare that you're providing. Because I think Butler County citizens expect that from us. And as part of that COA development, we are doing surveys, massive surveys across the county, also going into other types of services that we take from other counties. So while I respect a number of the things that Commissioner Fox has requested, I think that if we could work together on these, because some of them we're going to do, we know we're going to do internally. Oh. And finally, we're going to be opening our full service satellite in Middletown, and we're going to start with our focus groups in Middletown, and that'll open next month.
I guess my question goes to, you know, do we need to have two review boards looking at this?
Well, Mr. President, I think that's a reasonable question, but here's where I am for what it's worth. I think that going back to Pastor Sloan's point, you can't have too many eyes, you can't have too many ears.
You can have too many cooks in the kitchen.
Well, this kitchen burnt down.
You're right. I'm
and
that.
And I think that it's time for us to this commission to put our stamp on it and say, look, here are there's nothing in the resolution I'm offering that locks us into any specific framework. Nothing. I mean, I've purposely left set a framework for us to act, but I've suggested that we identify the areas. For example, I mentioned that the issue of Marcus Faisal's death. Well, I know there's a statutorily required review board, and I think the coroner's on that, etc. And as we go forward, what we're saying is we want an independent review of that, the specifics of that case. Now, we have to come back here that doesn't address who, how many. It just simply says, the commissioners, we want an independent review. Independent, from my definition, means in addition to or separate from whatever the agency does, but in cooperation with the agency. In other words, at the end of the day, we're not making, there is no question that whatever is done internally, because one of the things I have here is a request that, I don't know, has the ombudsman been asked to do a review of this yet?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
He and I met. He's working on another case for me that you and I discussed. He's almost got that complete. And
So we got the state looking at it from their perspective, and I think that's going to be, and I'm very grateful for, you know how long I've been at this issue, Gary, and I'm very grateful that you're willing to invest your time in this, because there all are statutory changes that need to be made. So the state will look at, it's like taking a picture from a different angle. So we take the picture. One of the things in here is to have their ombudsman, and I'm sure whatever review you do, your ombudsman will be involved in that. It recognizes
I'd just like on that note to say the ombudsman we have is incredible. He's very objective, he's very seasoned, he's very experienced, he's very non-emotional, and he doesn't have any problems saying this was right, this was wrong. And I think you'll be pleased that as you work with this man to find that you're going to get very objective responses.
Well, as I said to you at lunch some time ago, he appears to me, I've never met him, I've had numerous conversations with him on the phone, from what my contact has been, and I don't know what's coming to the board, that's a separate issue that I want to talk about sometime, but he has the temperament and the experience, and he's been very, very responsive to everything I've referred to him. For that, I'm grateful, and we may have finally got it right, but, you know, the systems of information flowing to the board have to be there. So what I'm suggesting is not so much that too many cooks, because we might do a, you know, a combined thing. In other words, the structure here is laid out. We want Marcus reviewed, and I'd like to have a conversation with the prosecutor. I'd like Commissioner Furman's suggestion that about getting the youth aid officers involved and so forth, because one of the issues in the Marcus thing is how do we move information, to your point, Greg, about you know, how do we capture information about police calls? Is there an independent way to capture that information? So the second is that we look at the whole thing, and I think we could get some really high-level people work with us on that.
I don't have any problem with all of that. I just want it in conjunction with the board. I don't want two committees going out doing the same work.
And first of all, let me make clear, we don't want to be our own committee examining ourselves. Well, but we do know that certain people in our agency are going to have to be involved.
Correct.
To be able to give the materials. But I think if you could just, let's just have one committee, and we'll recommend some people. You recommend some people. Let's get it put together and get it rolling.
The other thing is this. I've talked to Bruce Jewett. We've got the resources to do this extensive, you know, kind of survey type thing, getting somebody that's professional. Already covered the ombudsman, and then some specific tasks that we would ask the board specifically to do. One of which is to release all the information on the Faisal case, to release it all. Just put it out there. And the only basis for not doing that is anything that the police, the prosecutor would say that could in any way damage or impair their ability to, criminal side.
Laws, but you know, the file I saw, it's about like this, Mike, and I don't know what parts of that involves HIPAA issues with the mother or people that are living.
Right.
I don't know I don't know those laws, but I know there are HIPAA laws about people's medical information that you can't release.
Well, what I've found is if we go to these people and ask for their permission,
no,
we can get HIPAA
reason.
Waivers. Yeah. But my point is subject to those types of restrictions. I mean, if the federal law would put it all out. But anyway, I would move the adoption of the resolution with the understanding that it establishes a framework and expresses our desire about what we want to do, and the how we're going to do it. We're going to have to come back and visit that issue again as a commission. But it says, look, we want an independent review of the Marcus thing. We want an independent review of the agency practices. We want an independent survey of how they're doing, and which would be very valuable to, I'd like to have the similar survey done on the commission. How are we doing? But if we did that, then Candace and those folks would write bad things about us.
Could I ask a question before we vote? We announced yesterday publicly that we are forming this Blue Ribbon Committee to examine this whole case. So if we don't do that now because you're doing something,
no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't stop you from doing. You, I think you should do that.
Well, I think they should be combined. I'm happy to know that the Reverend is supportive of that. It's just a matter of the framework. It doesn't matter whether we pass a resolution or they pass a resolution. It's the devil's in the detail to make sure that we get the answers that we need.
With all respect, I have to tell you this. My experience, and there, as I said, been a lot of good things, is we've had a child die here because of an information system breakdown. We had the Leonard child die because of an information system breakdown. The struggle that I've had, and Johnny and I've had so many questions about this, I think there's more out there that you don't know.
Yes, exactly.
That then you know. And it's the stuff that you don't know that gets you in trouble. And you need an independent look at this, the public, that's not to suggest that the agency should do all the things you announced. I mean, we certainly would. Any other agency would.
State level, federal level, other county people, I've already contacted Derek to ask him to tell us who you guys want to stick in there. We want this to be very, very objective and very independent.
Well, I am not willing to accept that as the only, and I hope you understand it. My whole push from the beginning of this, going back to the reason this board was established back after the Tiffany Hubbard case, was I thought we would have a citizen board that would have an independent review. And my struggle has been constantly, I hear that word confidentiality and it sends me through the roof, because there are scores of ways to get around. That confidentiality shield is used to cover more nonsense, because the law does not say that it's absolutely confidential. What the law says is the director has a discretion to make anything public with certain specific exceptions. Can't make public who turned it in. Can't make public things that are governed by HIPAA unless you follow the HIPAA procedures. But absent those specific exemptions, that director has the discretion to release any document on any case and certainly share it with the governing board that she determines is in the best interest of that child. Now,
Mike, if I may, I think Pastor Sloan has been very open about as wanting this investigation, and I think that if we can include them into this task force that we're asking for, I think that would work for all counts.
I think we can include them. It doesn't. This resolution does not exclude them. This resolution basically says, and frankly, when it's done, I believe, Pastor, that you will have more credibility with the public, and I don't want to discourage you from introspection and doing it on, you know, through the
in-house ombudsman.
But in terms of the source of the review, I think it has far more credibility if it flows from an independent. In other words, you don't say, you know, we've looked at ourselves and we're doing fine.
Well, that's what I think you said, is that we're gonna have an independent review. All I'm trying to do is combine them to make sure that we do have an independent.
Well, then let's do it through the commission appointment.
I'm a structure person. I think in structure we account to the commissioners. I personally would rather the commissioners appoint the independent group, but I would prefer that you allow the people we were going to use to be in part of
that's
it.
Not a problem.
That is where,
and that way there's more accountability.
There you go. That's not a problem.
We're on the same page.
For me, it's being
we
consistent.
Are,
is that
an hour
you know we had. We had two hangings in the jail, and we had the ACLU ask us for an independent investigation. And we allowed the sheriff to say, look, we're going to support the sheriff, give us a report on that before we act on our own. The same thing with the board. The Reverend Sloan is saying that they want to, you know, have an independent review and saying he'd like to have us do it. That's fine. That's all I'm trying to do is just be consistent. And
that's
I didn't want two independent people doing the same work.
That's right.
Let's have one independent board. Let's have it appointed by the commissioners. Be open to our suggestions of some state people and federal people and other people to be involved.
And that's what this resolution allows for.
The resolution is flexible.
It is totally flexible. And we're going to come. We have to come back here and we have to appoint someone to do the review.
Absolutely.
We have to, in discussions through Derek, we have to decide, well, how many people are going to be on this? Who should be on this? And how soon, you know, in other words, this thing says, here's where we're going. Right now, I think we need to communicate to the public that we are mindful of their concerns, and we are moving to have someone, frankly, I know we had two this is not going to come out right. I know we had two hangings in the jail, but frankly, people care more about kids than they do about prisoners. And the bottom line is, I just want to make sure that in this case, this thing lays out at the, we request that the file be open. We can't demand it. I mean, we can't require it. Those things that we have jurisdiction over, this resolution says, let's go forward on them. Those things that the agency has jurisdiction over, we say, hey, we'd like you to do this. You can decide whether that makes sense or not, or whether the law allows.
Well, you will get full support from the board. And if we have any problem with the administration, we'll deal with that in that way. You'll have full support from the board.
So in that spirit, I'd move the adoption of the resolution.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Galvez?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for your indulgence. Thank you.
Does anyone else like to address County Commission on any? Okay. Paul?
My name's Hall Thompson. I used to be a board member of the Children's Services and the former chair. Without trying to sound too negative or casting aspersions on anyone, there is one concern that I do have that Mike has mentioned. In some of my recent dealings, talking to people that I used to work with on a very close personal basis at the agency, one of the problems and the feedback that I hear from staff is no one wants to talk about what's going on. In my personal opinion, from my experiences both as a sort of a victim of the agency and then being a board member and an advocate for the agency, nothing could be worse to hear from people than they don't want to talk about it. We come in, we punch a time clock, we do our job, we go home. That's not an answer. When I had left the board, there was a group called an A-Team, or the A-Team, and it was a committee set up of all kinds of people at all different levels within the agencies to have open communication that I keep hearing about. And after I left the board, and I don't know whose decision it was or how it came into being, that disappeared. So if you really want to know what's going on inside this agency, one of my suggestions would be that you do an anonymous survey with all employees and find out what employees really think without the board looking over their shoulder or without management of the agency looking over their shoulder. Because obviously this agency still has problems, structural laws. They do need the help, I believe, of, you know, Senator Cates. I think the board needs to take a very proactive role in this, because if you don't, you're going to be back here again at some point down the line with another dead child. I don't think it's anybody's direct involvement. It's a true tragedy. You can't be responsible for other people's actions, but we have to be responsible for things that we have control over. If we, you know, made visits or we showed up or someone didn't show up, that's a system fault. We're at fault there. So I would only suggest that, you know, you need to look into this, because things still are not the way they used to be or the way they ought to be. And if we're going to be open and we're going to be honest about this, that's got to include staff. But I have tried to talk to people just on a personal basis, and without exception, no one will speak about anything. And that makes me very, very sad.
Thanks, Hall. Yes, ma'am.
First of all, I would like to say how devastated I am about the child's death.
Could you state your name, please, for
me? My name is Joetta Street. And second of all, I would like to say that there is an open case going on right now with Children's Services. And I have documents here, if you would like to look over them, stating that my child has been abused, and the person that is abusing my child works for Butler County Children's Services.
What?
If you would like to see these.
Well, certainly. We'll take a look at it. And
second of all, I would like to say how devastated I am that my child was removed out of my home for no reason. I was told to go have a psychological evaluation done, which I did out of cooperation because I had nothing to hide. And as of going to have the psychological evaluation, after I had this evaluation, I was told that I was emotionally abusing my child, which was not true. On other terms, I did find out, as doing research with myself, that Children's Services and Children's Diagnostic Center have a contract through each other. So I feel like this was a bias case, and there was a conflict of interest with me going to have evaluation done, where a Butler County employee, they sent there also. So I'm speaking out not only for myself and my child, but I'm speaking out for other children and other parents that have been done wrong, and the system has failed them, just like it failed this child here. And I feel like the system has failed me, and I have no guarantee that my child will come home, because they took my child from me and put my child in a home with an abuser. So therefore, I feel like that should be investigated and looked into also.
If I may add to this, this young lady came to my office and we discussed this case. And because we were afraid of a conflict of interest through the Cincinnati office, because there were some people who had relationships or knew each other, I suggested that they go to the Montgomery County. And was that done?
Well, what was done, they actually transferred the case to Warren County, but Juvenile heard this, and Juvenile removed the child before it even went to Warren County. So therefore, they should have, I don't feel like a removal should have been made until it went to another county, because this was the conflict of interest here. Because when you have an employee that's, you know, doing this to a child, and then you take it to another county, basically. You don't put it in your own county and let someone from your own county remove a child.
I didn't want to put any shadow on our local Children's Services Bureau, but in order to try to keep that from being showing any favoritism whatsoever is why I suggested it go to another county. It's not just Hamilton County, which had already been heard again in Hamilton County.
It has went to Warren County, Hamilton County, and they came out, they did investigations on me, and everything was found unsubstantiated, and I still do not have my child. Now they have stopped my visitations with my child because of allegations that were made from someone, which were lies. So they have stopped all of my visitation rights as a mother. I mean, what rights do I have here as a mother? I've done nothing.
Report you got back from the other county, the Warren County, or?
I have those documents also.
Okay. And were those shown locally at all?
Everything that I have received from Hamilton County and Warren County has been found unsubstantiated. I have documents from professionals that state that there is abuse going on with this child. And what my biggest concern is, they take the child out of a loving and caring home and they put my child with the abuser.
Have you talked to the county's ombudsman?
Yes. I spoke with him on the phone, and I am supposed to be filing a grievance.
Okay. Mr. President?
Yes.
I received a letter from the child's counselor on August 24th, which concerned me, a copy of a letter that was sent to the guardian, I guess, Joshua Burns. And, I mean, we've all seen this in the past. It just makes no sense to me. I mean, I've seen children where parents put cigarette butts out on their, lit cigarettes on their body and did horrible things to them, still have visitation rights. It is very, very unusual for someone not to have visitation rights, even where there's a conflict or confusion about, you know, who, because this is one of those cases that is very difficult based on what I know about it, because it arises out of a custody issue. And I think at one time about 35-40% of the cases at Children's Services got there by virtue of divorce court or custody battles in juvenile court. And a lot of folks use the child protection system as kind of like their review. Rather than going to the 12th District Court of Appeals, they take a second bite of the apple. If I can't get my custody the way I want it, then I'll go over and accuse somebody of abuse. So you get a lot of false complaints that end up in child protection. So these are tough cases to figure out. Are these real or are they just... But here's what doesn't make sense to me. It involves a senior manager at the agency. The report was originally not filed by the mother. The report was referred by Children's Hospital and a...
Urgent care
and a therapist.
A counselor.
I mean, these are independent people who were mandatory reporters that said, there's abuse going on here, and we would like the agency to do this.
Well, the child was taken from me, and the child's been out of my home for almost, I'm going to say, 5 months. And in these months that the child was not in my home, the child was in the care of her.
When you mention the child, are you talking about your son?
Yes, it's my child. It's my daughter.
Okay.
So in the months that the child hasn't been with me, she's been with the other party, and the child has showed up at counselor visits, which I have documentation, with bruising on her. The child states that the stepmother made her lie on a bed, and she whipped her, and she had bruises. This gentleman reported it to Children's Services.
And one of the things that concerns me, and two things, and I appreciate Pastor Sloan. I think the ombudsman is reviewing this thing, and I had referred it to the ombudsman, but it seems to me it'd be like, again, looking back to, in fact, we have, unfortunately, you know, we had to fire one of our directors because of, I mean, it was understandable what he did because he used his position to try to deal with some personal things in his life and get into, you know, and we had to let him go. And we certainly, again, let me use that as a model. As soon as word came of that, all members of this board were informed immediately from our director. And I know Pastor Sloan's aware of this. Has the board ever been told about this in detail? I mean, has the board ever been briefed that one of their senior managers is the subject of a child abuse complaint?
I'm not fully aware, because I only became aware between the board meeting I was at in June and the one I missed in July. I asked Mrs. Street to meet with the ombudsman. He asked to meet with her. We've not been able to get her to meet with him so far.
Yeah.
Or we could have moved this a lot quicker. But there's things about this case that I'm very uncomfortable with, and we're in our special board meeting Tuesday night. I'll see to it that the ombudsman should have our report for the board by that. He's going to report to our board about
it. And see, and again, that goes to the information flow, and you and I talked about it, is if one of our senior managers, even frankly, if it didn't have anything to do with their job, if one of our senior managers had a child abuse complaint filed about, that doesn't mean you say it's true. If that occurred and we were aware and Derek was aware of it, we would be told immediately that day. Not because they're accusing it of being true, but that's the type of thing that a board of county commissioners does not want to read in the newspaper and have to say to Candace or some reporter, we don't know anything about it. And that's the type of thing we want to immediately get as many facts as we can to know what's going on here, because that will reflect on us.
It also, I think any time it involves anybody from our agency, our hands should be off of it instantly from the get-go. I also would prefer that it would not be Claremont County or Warren County, because of them being smaller counties. I would rather be some larger county. And so I requested that it be whoever Chuck and I talked
about. Montgomery.
Montgomery, that's right. But Hamilton County has looked at this, Claremont County has, and Warren County has.
Well, there's another thing that concerns me. I think, Joetta, when you went to a local attorney in town.
Correct.
And asked this attorney, would you represent me in this matter?
Correct.
What did that attorney tell you?
Well, after she had spoke with me and my husband, she stated that she could not represent me because she had represented the other party in a case for Children's Services, so therefore she was not going to represent either party. Well, when I went in court, she's representing the other party.
This is an attorney that does work with the agency. It's involved with the agency every day.
And this is hair that my child has lost from this person that is abusing my child.
So then the other thing that concerns me about this case is that, according to this letter from the counselor, the last four counselors, the only time Ms. Street is able to see the child is when, which again is unusual. I mean, people that are axe murder, you know, I mean, you got to be really bad to not be allowed to see the child.
Correct.
And in this case, the only time that she's allowed to see the child is under the supervision and in the context with the counselor.
Correct.
What's about that, she has to pay
right.
counseling fee to see her child. She has to go pay a counselor a fee so she can sit and see her child.
And the last four sessions, that child was did not show up because the person that works for the agency chose not to bring them. Now, if there's anybody, this child is really hurt. If there's anybody in the world
charges.
That should understand the importance of getting the child to a counselor, this person on the other side of the desk removes kids from homes all the time because parents fail to take them to court-ordered counseling sessions. Yet four times, the last four, according to this counselor, shown up.
There has been three contempt charges filed, which I have those. They filed three contempt charges. I have a letter stating where they said that they were not coming. The attorney written this letter, and in this letter, the attorney had written that my parents had went and spoke with Mr. Sloan.
They accused.
And they accused me of being present in this letter. He seen the letter outside the door before I came in, said he was not aware of this. He did not write this. And he said that someone would be fired today because he did not do this.
Well, are you, I mean, happy with, I mean, we welcome you here. Are you satisfied with what's going to happen Tuesday at the special board meeting? I mean, I'm not sure
in regards to the other child.
It seems like the chairman of the board is on top of your situation and is concerned as we are. Are you satisfied with that, or what would your – I mean, we just can't order this to happen.
I guess what I should say is this has been going on for so – I mean, it's been going almost a year, and my child's been out of my home for 5 months. And I will not be happy until my child is put back in my home. They removed a child from me and put the child in the home with the abuser. I don't understand.
How much does this cost you? Legal fees.
With attorney fees and all, I have probably paid out probably close to $15,000.
And another $35,000.
And my father paid $3,500 for an attorney in Warren County to help out on
this. Chuck and Greg, what aside from the specific, in other words, the substance of this, and I don't know all that. I haven't seen the files. I don't know who's doing what and whatever, but I do know the process. And when I had my conversation with Pastor Sloan about this, and I don't know what your experience was, Chuck, but Johnny told me that was the first time when I think he talked to you first. That he even knew this was going on.
That's very disturbing.
Well, I was waiting to get back. I didn't hear any more once they went to the other county, and no one got back with me on that.
And the issue that I raised about the $600,000 deal,
right?
The board doesn't know about that. You could tell when Johnny was. I mean, you could tell. Even went back and said in the he went back and said in the pew like. But, I mean, does the board know about the contract? Yes. But did they know about utilization issues? No. And it goes back to this whole system. You know, we want to trust that board. And if the board were getting the information, I could have confidence in the board. These are good people. But I'm telling you, they are not getting the information. And when you have a senior staff member involved in an abuse allegation and using that position to accommodate a personal advantage in the dispute. That is beyond, I mean, and the board isn't told, hey, we got this problem brewing. That's pretty amazing to me.
I would like to say one more thing. This came from a hospital, and I would like to read this. It says, 8-year-old who recently returned from dad and stepmom's house with whip marks over lower extreme. Patient had other bruising. Child says stepmom hit her with a belt. Also reports of sexual abuse from a teenage boy while at dad's house. And it's all documented. This come from a hospital.
That didn't come from you?
No. None of these papers came from me. They all came from hospitals and urgent care and counselors.
I got one question.
Yes, sir.
Well, two formal right now, anyhow. But where are their laws on stuff like this? Now, we've sat here, and I've sat here and listened, and I listened to them sort of tried to lift up the rug and sweep stuff in under. I caught them in two or three lies as they're trying to say this. I'm just an individual, and I wanted to come up here today to say one thing. That little kid that died probably had no reason to die if they had done their job right. If they sent it over to that there one place and they didn't follow up on it, there's something the matter with it. And I looked around here, and there are 40 people in here today, almost 40 people. That little kid, that three-year-old kid, don't have a voice to cry out for yet. And it's a shame that money, they pay people, and that's as far as it goes. After they get the money, they're not concerned. It's time that we get concerned about our children and what hands they're in. Now, right here's another fine example. They take a kid out of a home that I know these people very personally. And I've never seen anything out of them in 40 years. Well, we could almost say 50 years. And I want you to know something. These people are fine people. What's wrong? Because somebody's over there has got authority. And that's where it ends, and that's where it goes. And I apologize for being out of order.
No, that's quite all right, sir. Would you like to state your name for our record, just so we know?
My name's Donnie Buttry.
Well, thank you.
And I do tell the truth. Yep. I think Mr. Furman and me and him have met a few times. And you got other guys.
And he's beat me in every checker game that I've ever. He's the best checker player and ever was.
Well, thank you very much for coming. And
it's time to. Where do you go to get something done?
Right.
Can we just put it off another week, and maybe it'll be like something like happens to the little kid that just happened? Or do we try to do something now?
Well, these allegations are very disturbing to me. It's the first I've heard of them. We haven't had the opportunity to meet, but I'm very concerned about what your case is and what seems to be high-ranking. I don't even know who we're talking about. Apparently everybody else does, but that's very disturbing that they're using their position improperly. So I'm pledged to you that I'll look further into this to make sure something happens.
Okay, I would just like for the safe return of my child to be home.
Right.
Because with this child, you know, this happening to this child, I have no guarantee. I mean, if this person is doing this to my child, what are they going to do, you know, if they were to go into a rage? I mean, my child could be the next child.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, let's, ma'am, you want to come forward? Give her the opportunity. If you could state your name, please.
My name is Laura Watson. I originally came to Butler County Children's Services because I wanted to be a foster parent. My husband's a police officer. I was a former foster child, and this issue is very, very dear to me. I started the training with Butler County Children's Services, and some things made me very uncomfortable. So during my training, I stopped training with Butler County Services, and I switched to a private agency. Once I started working with that private agency, my goal was still to take Butler County children primarily. My husband removes these children, and it's very difficult to see them shipped far away to other counties, Claremont County. And so we really wanted to work with these children because they're from our community. I've taken in three
the commission meeting's getting
Butler County children through my private agency since I've been doing this for 2 years. I will no longer take Butler County children anymore, not because of the children, but because of the things that go on inside that agency. I've already been told that by doing what I'm doing today and what I've done in the past, that my career with Butler County Children's Services is over. And I think it's a shame because I have a wonderful home to offer to these children.